Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
To Scotty's Red Bull Friday, Vodka Red Bull Friday, here on The Fan. Toby Altizer in for JP today. We mentioned Finley is brought to you by Rood HVAC Equipment. Head over to Rood.com to find a contractor near you and available tax credits and rebates. R-U-U-D. And remember, if it ain't Rood, it ain't right. And a Vodka Red Bull Friday is powered by Scotty's Handcrafted Vodka. Scotty's Vodka is Maryland made, amazingly smooth,
and loved
throughout the DMV. It's time to get out to the Rood guest hotline. Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, and welcome in our guest, the host of Locked On Pacers, also has his work featured in Forbes, and that is Tony East. You can follow him at Tony R. East on Twitter. Tony, what's going on, man? How you doing today?
Hanging in there. Lots going on in Indy with Caitlin Clark and the Pacers and the finals and everything. It's nuts right now.
Is it any surprise to the Pacers being at 2-1 right now to you all, or you expected this?
I mean, honestly, this is like how every series they've played this year has gone, right? Like, am I surprised that they're beating the Thunder 2-1? Like, yeah, on paper, that's a surprise. But every series they've played this year, they have one win that's just completely insane and crazy, and no one knows how they got it. And that was game one where they were trash for 40 minutes and then won the game. And then they have another game where they respond to a huge challenge and adjust and figure it out. And Rick Carlisle is fire with the pen, and they get it done. And that was game three where he draws up a bunch of great stuff, and their bench is way better than it was in game two. And lo and behold, they're up 2-1. So, you know, everybody thought the Thunder were a lot better, and on paper they were, but this is like exactly how the Pacers have blueprinted their way through the playoffs so far, and I think they can keep doing it.
What was the confidence level of Pacers fans going into this series? Because like you said, I think everybody that isn't in Indiana was basically counting them out, saying, oh, well, at some point this magical run's going to end, because I think they've counted them out just about every series they've been in this playoffs, and yet they find a way, and now they're up 2-1 in the series. But what was the confidence level of the fans going into this one?
Yeah, I would say like tepidly confident, which is kind of weird to say because, you know, they're a 50-win team playing a 68-win team. But, you know, since January 1st, the Pacers have the second-best record in the NBA. And since the in-season tournament, they're like third or fourth, which is only relevant because that's when they got healthy. Like, they started the season really banged up, and Tyrese Haliburton was just bad to start the season. And so once he got going and once they had all their bodies, they've been like a top-five team since then. And I think everybody in Indy kind of realizes that they – have that kind of top level in them, so that, you know, all the Thunder and 4 or 5 picks, I think locally everybody kind of laughed at, like, that's just not going to happen. They're not that level of team. But I think there was an acknowledgement that OKC is still the best that there is in this league right now, right? So everybody was more confident than the consensus in terms of how well they could do, and that's certainly played out this way, right? The Pacers, like, ran through a 64-win Cavs team. Why can't they do something similar to the Pacers was kind of the thinking. And so far, that's kind of held the form, although I do think we have not seen the last of the peak of this OKC team.
But you've seen all types of our plays. Look at Pascal Siakam. He's been unbelievable. Has the experience of going on a championship run. Haliburton with the timely last-second shots and things. Mathurin last week, the way he played. I mean, last game, the way he played. But could Rick Carlisle be the secret weapon? Because coaching matters. We saw that Thibodeau got fired in New York, and I watched him with his arm crossed and not doing the damn thing on the sideline. But Carlisle knows how to call timely timeouts. He can draw up offensive plays. And the coach over at Oklahoma City, he's new to this.
Yeah, 100%. I thought it was funny because Mark Daigneault, I think he got hired in 2021 by the Thunder. So he's actually like the fourth longest tenured head coach in the NBA after Tibbs got fired. And somebody asked him that at media day for the finals. They said, do you feel like a veteran head coach? And he goes, now I'm going against Rick Carlisle, right? Like, that's a huge gap in acumen and experience when it comes to the NBA finals, right? Like, and this is a little bit reminiscent of a series that everybody knows about that happened in 2011 where mm-hmm. Carlisle's guiding this Mavs team that, you know, they beat Kobe and they beat the Spurs and they had to beat the Heatles in the finals. Like, he had to coach his butt off and find unique ways to get that team over the mountain. And look at that. That's kind of what's happening here. Like, he's done this before. He knows how to build a system around a team and a roster, and that's exactly what's happening here. And I think that he's really shown the last two playoffs, because last year was the Pacers' first year and they made the conference finals, that he's still got it, man. Like, he knows how to coach in this setting, and he's made it clear several times between being a player and an assistant. This is his sixth finals, right? Like, he's seen this before. He knows the setting. I think for a lot of these younger Pacers players, they can really lean on that.
Talking with Tony East, host of Locked On Pacers, also writes about the Pacers for Forbes. You can follow him on Twitter at Tony R. East. Here on B. Mitch and Finley, Toby Altizer in for JP today. When you look at Tyrese Haliburton and what he's done in this playoffs, it's been incredibly impressive to see how clutch he's been. But the story of the first couple of games of this one was his starts and his first halves weren't great. Then game three came out much more aggressively. Do you think we see that the rest of the series? Do we see that tonight, a more aggressive Haliburton early on?
Yeah, it's hard to say with him, right? Like, he's like probably the best player in the league who doesn't have like a I'm going to beat you off the dribble every time kind of bag. You know, like, he's just, he is the system of the Pacers. They play fast and move the ball because that's what he's good at. And so they do a lot of stuff that gets him the ball in favorable situations and lets him kind of be this table setter and shooter and all that stuff that you saw in game three. And so the only reason that you just never know is like when the other team mixes up some goofy or crazy unique coverage that really thwarts what he does at his best, it really slows the whole Pacers team, right? You saw that in game two of this very series where it wasn't like that new. The Thunder were just playing perfect with their paint protection principles and trapping him the second he'd cross half court. And like, he never got going and the Pacers never got going. And that's happened kind of often in the playoffs. And that's why I always say that he is the best guy that can be shut down like that. Like, Lou Dort's put him in the blender a few times. The Cavs ran a 3-2 zone in the playoffs, and that really slowed down the Pacers a few times in the second round, for example. Like, it just kind of happens that way. So, you know, people always talk about it, and I do think there's something to it. Haliburton said it himself, the word aggressive, like you guys just used with him, like, just get in the paint and shoot, you know, like, and that is helpful. Like, he's good at that stuff. His floater in the series has been money, right? Like, that's a shot that he can get to, but it's not, he doesn't even view it that way. Like, every time he has a game like he had in game two where he's kind of quiet from a shot attempts perspective and isn't really rolling in the way that people expect of a star, he always just feels like he didn't get into the paint enough at all where he can be like the passer. He's a pass first guy, and he never said, you know, I think he only had 6 assists in that game. So I think for him and the Pacers, the key is not even necessarily having him be 22 points, taking 17 shots, Tyrese Haliburton. I think it's getting him into the paint where he can crack the defense and then have somebody else, if it's him or somebody else, it doesn't matter to the Pacers, have a nice night. And look at that. They had a good system game plan for game three. He was great and the whole team was great. I think they're going to need to rely on their whole system and ecosystem more so than him. But if he's great, they're usually great. So that's, it's a little bit of both ways.
Many people were saying that, you know what, the NBA didn't want to have these two small market teams. But I've watched two teams that plays both ends of the court, and I've been entertained. You know what I mean? I don't care to watch basketball just because you're from a big city mm-hmm. if you're not going to play defense. You know, and defense is kind of ignored in the NBA for the most part. How have you been entertained?
I've been cracking up with being at all these games laughing like, hey, we're going to Indy, the bigger city, for the finals this year. Like, all right, let's go. There's actually a CVS and a restaurant open till 9 in Indy. Let's go. It has been a really fun basketball final, certainly. And I think the other part of it that's been fun for what you're saying is, like, these two teams don't really play the way you think of when you think of playoff teams, right? They play 10 guys and, like, play fast. right? So it's a lot of action, right? There's just a lot going on all the time, and everybody playing is playing 100% effort and playing to exhaustion because, one, it's the finals, but two, because they play fewer minutes than the typical playoff team. And I think that that's becoming like a growing trend in the NBA, is relying on your depth a little bit more to be at peak capacity more often, even with your star players. And so what you're seeing is, even without, you know, the big names or the big markets, really good ball for 48 minutes, right? Yep. Like last game, everybody was entertained by TJ McConnell and Ben Mathurin. Like, you don't think of those guys when you think of the NBA finals, but they were making plays and looking like studs on national TV on ABC, and they deserved it. They were playing great, right? Like in game two, Alex Caruso scored more points than any Pacers player. What's going on? Like, it's what this finals has kind of become. And, you know, obviously the star players have been good at times, Pascal Siakam, Shea, like they're good players. They're still enjoyable for people to watch. But I think that's what's made this finals compelling more so than the markets, is these smaller market teams that play a unique way or play in a way that's fun for people to watch, and they play two close games.
Talking with Tony East, host of Locked On Pacers, here on 106.7 The Fan, B. Mitch and Finley. Toby Altizer in for JP today. When you look at Shea Gilgeous-Alexander in this finals, it feels like the key for the Pacers, obviously on the defensive side, is he's going to get his. Rick Carlisle kind of talked about that going into the series. He's going to score 25, 30 points, but making it so that he isn't an efficient 38 points like he was in game two. It's he's got to take 20, 25 shots to get to that 30-point mark. How do they continue to do that? Or is that just something that game by game, you just got to hope that you can find a way to slow him down?
Yeah, if I was being cute and snarky, I would just say Andrew Nembhard and call it an answer, but I'll give you much more than that. Like, I mean, that kid can guard, right? Like, that's his thing. That's why the Pacers love him. He takes five shots and plays 35 minutes because he can guard. And him and Shea go way back, right? I think they've been friends since they were like 8 or 9, growing up in Canada together. And wow. Nembhard, you know, he was an all-defense level dude this year. He just didn't play enough games to qualify for the awards or however that works. It's so I cover the league, and I think that stuff's confusing. But you know, he's a great defender. And so the Pacers know, like, you can't stop Shea. Like, he won the MVP award. He's going to score whatever number he's scored in every game. I think he has over 100 points in these three games or something like that. But they want to, one, make it hard, right, so that he's tired by the end of the game. I think that was a big part of game three, is the Thunder were gassed at the end of that game, like hands on the hips, every dead ball kind of stuff going on for them. And, you know, that you have to make guys work to have that be reality. So I think that's part of it. And two, like, they're targeting him a lot. I think in game three we saw Shea was the primary defender on 23 Pacers drives. And you just wear him out by doing that, right? So they're kind of defending him by playing offense, right, and targeting him and going at him in that way. And I think over the course of a game, that has gassed him enough that even though he has still been excellent as a scorer, he hasn't been as effective as a passer, right? His point guardy skills just haven't really been there, and his defense has been worse. So I think it's some of what Rick Carlisle's saying, where, you know, they want to make him work for it. They know he's going to get 30 if the plane lands in the next city, right? But they also think that they can make that an advantage for them in other ways, whether that's shutting down other Thunder players with defense elsewhere, or whether that's helping themselves on offense by targeting the guy. And so far, all that strategy has really come to a head and worked.
But both of these teams know how to bounce back. I think they said something like the Pacers have won the last 11 games after they lost. And also Oklahoma City, they normally beat the team by 20 points or more after they lose a game. You know, do you think that both of these teams could play at this level the whole time? Because it looks like 7 games may be in the future.
I think 7 games might be in the future as well. It's been interesting because, well, of what you're saying, right? Both of these teams have not lost consecutive games in 3 months. The Pacers haven't done it since March 5th. I can't remember the last time the Thunder did. The Thunder have never done it at home, like, the whole season, right? And they just boat race everybody. So it's two coaches that are really good at identifying kind of the problems that are being presented to them and fixing it. And that's why it's going to be so hard for a team to just get a firm grip on this series. I mean, it's already at least going 6, right? And OKC is clearly really good. So 7 seems like the most likely outcome to me. I don't know who would win it at that point. You just never know in the finals, right? Like, how the moment or how the mentality is going to shrink or grow some of these players. But yeah, that part of the Pacers run has been fascinating. Like, every time they lose, the next game, they are totally prepared for the thing that just made them lose, right? Yeah. They have their game plan ready for it. The other team is lost. And, like, I think it's so easy in the NBA to talk about adjustments when a team loses, right? Like, oh, we lost. We got to do this better and that better. When you win, it's a lot harder to be proactive. But I think that's something both of these coaches are really good at, is changing stuff even after wins. So I think that tonight will be the one that's like the most pivotal when it comes to seeing if there's a game seven or not. But I find it's going to be hard for either of these teams to win twice in a row. I think that's why it's so big the Pacers won game one.
Final one for me, Tony. Talking about Tony East from Locked On Pacers here on 106.7 The Fan. One of my favorite memories was I was in Milwaukee when they went on their run in 2021 and covering that NBA Finals, just the environment around the city, the environment in the building. And that was even when there were still COVID limitations in terms of the crowd. What has the crowd been like in Indiana? What has the vibes been like in Indianapolis with this sort of a run? Obviously, it's a basketball city. It's a basketball state. What's the vibes been like for this whole run?
Yeah, really high, obviously. I mean, as you know, especially for a market like Milwaukee or Indiana, who you don't think, you know, who haven't had this level of basketball success for a while or very often, right? Like, fans are so amped about the opportunity to potentially see what, you know, history, right? And then the last game three, I don't know if you guys made it to the end of that one because it ended so pretty late, but you know, the Obi Toppin put back dunk to put him up seven with about 4 minutes to go. That was the loudest I've ever heard. That arena, you know, the downtown is buzzing. There's stuff going on everywhere for the Pacers right now. And they have this little concourse outside that's just like a basketball court that people can play on 24/7. Like, they've been projecting the games out there. It's been really cool to see the rallying cry around this team. And like, since last year, like in the last 16 months or so, I mean, they drafted Caitlin Clark, made the conference finals, hosted NBA All-Star, started another season. Fever made the playoffs. Pacers made the finals. Like, it's just been a crazy, crazy year for like the whole Pacers Sports Entertainment conglomerate, because they own the Fever as well. There's just always something crazy going on. So there's just so much basketball craze right now that people are so into this. And it'd be cool if they could actually get it, because they've never won a championship before, and you just never know when these opportunities are going to be there. Like with the Bucks, like, it's so fleeting, right? It could be over before you know it. So I think everybody's really – I expect, like, you win two. I don't know how you felt at the time, because the Bucks went down 0-2, but, like, when you win one, it's like, okay, you won one. When you win two, the thoughts start to creep in, like, oh, wow, like, this could really happen, right? So I think that's also going to up the craze for game four and beyond in the city.
How hard has it been for you to go to work, man, lately? I mean, you covered Caitlin Clark, and now you're covering the damn NBA Finals team.
Yeah, it's been crazy. And, like, you know, it's funny. I keep joking about people like this, like, the Fever used to suck and the Pacers weren't good the last couple of years. So like, I would have an off season between seasons, like 4 weeks after the Pacers were out. Okay, great. I can tell. Here come the Fever. Okay, 4 weeks before the Pacers start. Now they're both good. I'm like, when do I go on vacation, man? Like, can one of you guys have a bad year? I'm pro tanking again because I want to have a vacation. So it's been fun for everybody, including me. And the show must go on.
Something just right about Indiana kind of being the center of the basketball universe right about now.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah,
appreciate the time, Tony. Enjoy tonight's game.
Appreciate you, man.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, brother.
That's Tony East. He joined us. He's the host of Locked On Pacers. He also writes for Forbes. That's something that slept on a little bit, B-Mitch, is there's a couple cities that I think, you know, big cities that'll have great environments. Like, I think Madison Square Garden's always a great environment in New York. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of tough to say that you're going to get better environments than what you're seeing in OKC for the first two games and then Indiana in game three and then game four tonight. It's been a blast to watch those two.
Totally. It's been great.
Continue talking about the NBA Finals next. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley on The Fan.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. FanDuel is the best place to find all your favorite player props for the NBA Finals that's going to be going on tonight. Indiana and OKC. And now you can make the smarter play with new performance trends. Want to check a player's consistency during the playoffs? Or maybe they've been flirting with a potential triple-double. Get the latest stats right inside the app and see who's heating up. And after the tip-off, you can combine live prop bets into a same-game parlay for a chance to win big. If you don't already have FanDuel, it's not too late to get in on the action. You'll get started with $200 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to join today. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook with the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years or older and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
In this last segment, talking about the Pacers. NBA Finals Game 4 tonight. Pacers lead the series 2-1. B-Mitch, you think OKC is going to come back and win tonight? You were talking about this. You've been
I believe
this.
They will.
Whenever they lose, they come back with a vengeance their next game.
They do. But it's like, now you think about it, though. So that coach is younger. He's like, fourth year, something like that, for the Pace. I mean, for the Oklahoma City. Rick Carlisle has a lot of experience. And just that. But if he can get his team ready after a loss, he needs to figure out a way to, after they beat the hell out of a team, come back and beat them again. Because if you lose by 20 and you lose again by 10, 20, you might want to fold your tent then. But if you keep giving a team a chance to come back, after they led by double digits several times in that game, you know, you get a little bit too much confidence on the other side, you got problems.
Yeah, and I think this is a good opportunity for Oklahoma City, where if you win this ball game tonight,
you're going back home.
You tie it up 2-2, and you're going back home.
But they lost the first game at home.
And that's the crazy part, is Indiana
feels comfortable wherever they play. And Indiana played horrible the whole game.
Yeah, and still won. Except
they led for 0.35 seconds.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah, so I'm intrigued by tonight's game, because I think, you know, OKC kind of, there's no such thing as a must-win unless it's a elimination game, but I mean, you don't want to go down 3-1.
It's a must-win. If they go down 3-1, it's a must-win after they lost at home already.
That's true. You still have to.
They
at
normally
home,
destroy people at home, and they lost that game at home.
But you need to take one. You still have to take one in Indiana, and you'd either have to take one in here, Game 4 or Game 6, but you don't want to go down 3-1. And this Indiana team, at some point, you just have to respect them, right? Like, I feel like I've counted them out every single series they've been in the playoffs. And I still didn't feel, even going into Game 3, I'm like, well, Thunder will roll. And sure enough, they come out and they showed me something late in that game, B-Mitch, in the fourth quarter, that there was a gear that they could get to, and the Thunder looked like a team that was a little bit overwhelmed in the environment they were playing in. And they dominated that fourth quarter.
I think a lot of that you got to look at in the game, too, and I think people don't look at this closely. This is not saying referees control games. but referees control games. If I let you get very handsy and I don't call fouls, Oklahoma City gets frustrated, Indiana keeps doing it.
Mm-hmm.
In a previous game, they were calling fouls for all that stuff. Indiana stopped getting handsy. Oklahoma City have a lot more free shots. So if you want to see a series go to seven, that's all you got to do. You don't have to call way more fouls on one side than the other. You just do things to you can enable one team to have more aggression and the other team is more lax. You know what I mean? And I saw some plays where I'm like, that's a foul. They didn't call it. Then I say, oh, okay, I understand. You know, that's the easy NBA is so easy to sway a game. You know what I mean? It's easy. So pay attention to the referee tonight and see what happens.
Well, so, Lamphill, I know you're big into the nicknames of certain refs. I don't know if you know this or not. Do you know the nickname of Scott Foster, who's refereeing tonight's game? His nickname is White Brian's got it. What do we got?
Is it?
What's Scott Foster's nickname?
It's the Extender.
It's the Extender because he extends series.
Hey, listen, bro.
They called him the Extender tonight. They don't want to go in 3-1.
I hate saying stuff about the refs for the most part because, you know, people start saying, oh, you're trying to make excuses. I don't care about either one of these teams. I like good basketball. But you can watch how they sway games, bro.
Well, listen to this.
How the hell the man get a name called the Extender if it don't have any bearing?
Hey, they call in the Extender when they need the series to go another game. They help out the other team. So, tonight, Scott Foster, Josh Tiven, and Sean Wright are the officials.
Uh-huh.
The Indiana Pacers record with these three different officials. Scott Foster, when he officiates, 6-13. 2-5 when Tiven, and 3-6 when Sean Wright is there. Versus the Thunder are 14-9, 5-5, and 4-3. Like, you want to say it's not? There's not a fix in.
It's kind of like Hockley, huh?
I don't know, man.
In the NFL.
I don't know. They might help him out a little bit
Listen,
tonight.
Man, it's just observations. It's not necessarily we are saying that the referees do things, but I will tell you one thing. If they play seven games, the NBA gets a lot more out of it than if they had played four.
Well, and look, I mean, it's crazy because I think it's – it's good basketball. I think that OKC will win tonight. I think you'll see him come back and
well,
win tonight.
Of course. You know the Extender's refereeing.
The Extender's refereeing. But even without that, like they definitely play a role in that for sure. And this kind of goes back to what we talked about a month ago when the Wizards get the sixth pick, where that felt a little bit crazy and a little bit
slimy.
Fishy. Yeah, a little bit not exactly up to code,
the
I guess.
The team that just lost a superstar player all of a sudden gets mm-hmm. a superstar player.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right.
Well, and you know, the funny part is there was someone in the chat that day that brought up, you want to know when the Wizards got the number one pick and got John Wall? You want to know what happened right before that?
What?
The whole Gilbert Arenas gun thing.
Uh-huh.
So there are so many coincidences, quote-unquote coincidences, that happen with this thing. But tonight's game I think is going to be a really good one. I'm intrigued to watch and see how OKC makes some adjustments. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, though, is the best player in this series, and he needs to play like that. He needs to play efficiently, and then I think they can win this one. But who do you think ultimately wins this series?
I picked OKC early, and I'm going to stick with it.
Yeah, I think I'm still going to stick with OKC, but this was something that, to your point earlier, when I was in Milwaukee, I got frustrated with Matt LaFleur a little bit with the Green Bay Packers because one thing that we saw was like he couldn't make the adjustment ahead of time. Like he couldn't see ahead of what the other team was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he got there, he was fine, but he would generally lose. And then the next time he got there, he'd be fine, right? So, mm-hmm. you know, get me to a divisional round, I might lose, but next year I'll be fine. Daigneault has to get ahead of things, right? Carlisle yeah. has made the perfect adjustments to win Bruh. These things. Daigneault has to get ahead one of these times.
You just have to find, like when you see a team on a run, throw a monkey wrench in it.
Yeah, I mean, out. To your point.
He did it the other night.
90 seconds into the third quarter, Rick Carlisle said, that's enough.
Yeah. But like, some guys, they see their guys, like, they see another team on a run, and it's a good thing that you trust your players to make adjustments. Because professional sports is that one entity where a lot of the players may just know the game a lot better than the coaches. Because you're out there. You're professional at this thing. Mm-hmm. You do this. And you may see things that are going on that the coach hadn't picked up yet. You're going through it so you understand it. And a lot of coaches, they allow their guys to make the adjustments. Well, the exceptional ones say, well, you're a professional player. I'm a professional coach. And I see something I don't like, so I'm going to stop this crap right now. And they shut it down.
Zach Selby of Commanders.com just put out a piece, three standouts from Commanders minicamp. We'll get into the names that he mentioned.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Next here on The Fan. Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer in for JP today on a Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday, powered by Scotty's Handcrafted Vodka. Scotty's is Maryland-made and amazingly smooth and loved throughout the DMV. So, Commanders minicamp wrapped up yesterday, 3 days out for them before they get back for training camp next month. Three guys, Zach Selby for Commanders.com, wrote three standouts from Commanders minicamp. I think a couple of these are interesting and might have to play a bigger role if Noah Brown is going to miss some time. We'll start with the first one that he has is Luke McCaffrey. He says, there was never a question about McCaffrey's work ethic or determination last season, but it was clear that he needed more time to develop into a more polished NFL receiver. Now the third round picks, hard work is starting to pay off. I'm intrigued if he can play a role this season because they're going to need him, I would think. I mean, you don't draft a guy in the third round and then not expect him to give you something in the first couple years of his career.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, he's a converted quarterback, so I think he has an understanding at the receiver position that maybe some of the other guys don't, just from that knowledge of playing quarterback. But I'm interested to see if he's going to have a bigger role this year because I think you kind of need him to.
Well, I think last year I watched him working him doing some running back stuff, his slot stuff, return. There's a lot of things they want him to do, and they have a lot of players on that team that could do those type of things. And I watched him last year, and he returned some punts good, kickoffs good. He was open sometimes, but, you know, it wasn't in the read process. But I really believe that he's going to take a step forward. You know, he's from an athletic family. His dad was damn good. His brother, we all know what Christian has done. But I think Luke takes that step this year. You know, sometimes it takes that year for a guy to get that year under his belt before he can really come in here and stop thinking so much. You know, when you say the thinking aspect, people normally think it's something different. But when you are just reacting on a football field, far better.
Yeah, and I'm curious for you, B. Mitch, when you go from year one to year two, how much faster do you feel? How much less do you have to think on the fly?
The next year, it's like night and day because you're thinking it, so you play slow. The next year you come into it, you just react. You know, that's why so many guys, you heard them saying, you know, oh, now this year I'm just learning to play. Now I'm just reacting and playing. I don't have to think about stuff anymore. Thinking to kill you.
We got a distinguished guest on the phone line here, B-Mitch.
Who is that?
J.P. Finley.
Oh,
J.P.,
man.
What's up, dude?
I just saw him on
what's
TV,
up, boys?
Man. I just saw him on
How
TV. I saw somebody got a hole in one.
That wasn't me, dog. It was not me.
What's going on,
brother,
dude?
Man?
We're fighting, boys. We're fighting. We just had a big two-shot swing. We're one off the lead in our flight, even on the day. So we're grinding.
How are you playing? Are you hitting the ball well?
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting off the tee. Getting off the tee well. Irons are a little so-so, but the wedges and the putter's actually been pretty good.
Wedges and the putters are good?
Wow.
It's opposite day. I should go buy a lottery ticket.
Did you take my advice from yesterday week?
Yo, yes. I'm trying to take it as it comes.
Having
a good time.
I say, bruh, slow down and focus.
I'm trying. I'm doing my best.
You know, JP.
You know, that's not exactly my style.
Yeah, oh, I know.
JP's known for slowing down and focusing. That's his one thing that he does well, right? Yeah. Where are you playing at?
Congressional.
Oh, nice.
It's a member.
Nice. I like it.
Oh, boy.
I like it. You're not at an Oakmont. I thought you were going to qualify for the U.S. Open this year, JP.
I just missed the cut, so.
How much you watch of that?
You know, I watched a lot early yesterday, but I didn't get to watch much in the afternoon. And I haven't seen any today. What's going on?
We just had a hole in one.
Had a hole in one.
Victor Hovland was rolling, and then he got a double. Currently, Spawn still at the top. He hasn't teed off for his first, but I mean, it looks like carnage.
I don't think he's going to be there at the end of the day.
Yeah, only nine dudes under par at this point in the tournament. It's crazy to see. Scotty's struggling again. Brooks is three over on the day. It looks like carnage out there.
A good friend of mine put the over under people under par for the whole tournament at minus 4.5.
That sounds about right at that track, man.
Yeah.
I think I got to run here, boys. I am away.
All right, bro.
Well,
go
best
ahead,
of luck, man.
Handle your business.
Appreciate it, fellas.
Slow down and focus.
Yeah, that's me.
All right, see you, JP.
Yeah, ain't going to happen.
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen. JP slowing down and focusing. I don't know that's anything that he's good at. That's not his skill set.
Not at all.
That's not his skill set. But what is his usual skill set on the golf course, B. Mitch?
He can hit the driver. I mean, he's straight with his driver. Like, I'm always baffled. I'm like, dude, how is your driver the best club in your bag? That's normally never the case. And he'll hit a 245, 250-yard drive. He's 120-something out and will shank the wedge. I mean, it'll go straight right. I'm like, how the hell did you just do that?
How'd you hit a driver dead straight and then shank the wedge?
Dude, but if you ever play with JP, I call him the Tyrannosaurus Rex. So he sets up and he does this little thing with his neck and his arm before he goes into his swing.
That's funny.
It's weird, dog.
Well, hopefully he keeps playing well. Hopefully
he does
he keeps
a dinosaur.
So we're talking about Zach Selby's piece, three standouts from the Commanders minicamp. Number one for him was Luke McCaffrey.
Luke?
Another second-year player, and he was good in his first year. So I'm intrigued to see how much of a step he takes this year, maybe back more in a more familiar role. Second guy he has here is Mike Sanristil.
I was thinking that.
I mean, last year, him playing outside, and I love what Nikki had to say yesterday, saying that she thinks that Amos is going to be ready to go week one. Uh-huh. So you'll have Amos and Lattimore on the outside, and then you have Sanristil in the slot. Like I think Sanristil was good outside. I think he can be great inside.
I think the thing about Sanristil, which helps him, like, a lot of teams are going to try to get a certain guy inside at all times. And they'll try to find a weakness. The thing I love about Mikey is he can bounce inside, out, whatever. It doesn't make a difference. What if it's a game where there's a guy who maybe just a little bigger, and he's getting the best of him. He jumps outside on somebody else, boom, you can switch him off. And then you can confuse the hell out of an offensive coordinator. But Mikey is that guy where last year I had veteran players telling me that he's already like a leader. He was setting up meetings for people, make sure he'll have all the guys' shakes and stuff, whatever they needed. He was putting this stuff together. And then now he's in his second year. Hell, he's going to be even more like that. You know, you would see when they went on, they went to Miami to practice against the Dolphins, and then they went to – Mikey is holding court. He's the youngest dude out there, but everybody paying attention to him. So I really believe he's going to take a major step. And the reason that they probably saying he's been a standout, he was already playing fast last year. How much faster is he playing this year? He doesn't have to think at all.
Yeah.
He probably knows this damn defense inside out.
Yeah, and he was a very smart football player.
Yeah.
I think it was a lot of just getting up to speed at the NFL level, and I think you saw that as the season went on. And now if you put him back in a more familiar spot, even if he has to play outside, like you said, he can play inside and outside. Mm-hmm. Did you see what he was up to this offseason at all?
No. Nah. Well, messing with everybody.
Well,
you know,
of course. That
calling
is his
and
thing.
Telling people, he just called to tell them good night. He made landfill, and Jeff tried that with me, you know.
That video was hilarious.
That dude, he's a character.
Jaden Daniels going, what is wrong with you, dog? That video is hilarious. If you haven't seen it, you could probably find it on Twitter somewhere. But there was also, I saw that he was at a Wizards game credentialed as a photographer.
Really?
Yeah, this dude was going around taking like professional pictures this offseason and some videos.
I think he plays piano.
I'm sure he does. He seems like a very talented kid.
I think it's piano that he plays, and supposedly real, real good at it too.
He just seems like he's one of those guys that's just good at everything, right?
Yeah.
Really good, easy dude to root for. Really easy dude to get along with. But yeah, it's cool to see him
good
do
teammate.
All these. Yeah, great teammate.
Because he keeps everything going.
The other one here is someone that I don't even know that a lot of Commanders fans even fully know.
JP, update on JP. So he got up and down for par after the Chrome Crawl.
There you go. We helped him out.
Yeah, we helped him out.
Slow down and focus or whatever it was.
That was his last thing, slow and focus.
I don't believe him, by the way. He probably shanked a wedge about then. The last name on this list that stood out for Zach Selby, Chris Moore. Because you look at the bottom of the receiver depth chart, he says, the battle for the spots at the bottom of the receiver depth chart looks like it'll be one to watch once again. It's still too early to make any assumption, but Moore is making his case about why he should stick around. He's a 10-year vet, B. Mitch. He's someone that's a good route runner, and he's not anyone that has wowed throughout his NFL career, but he's kind of steady Eddie. And frankly, if this Noah Brown injury ends up being significant, you're going to have to find some people to start filling some of those holes. A guy like a Chris Moore standing out in minicamp, it definitely helps.
Oh, yeah. Listen, man, the thing about the unfortunate thing about sports is you get opportunities at other people's expense. And you have to be ready to go. You know, you can't be sitting up here saying, oh, man, you know, it's my boy. No. That's your opportunity. You have to go with it. I got my opportunity the exact same way. And if he is opening eyes now, don't stop. Because the coaches are going, listen, these coaches don't wait until close to training camp to start deciding who's going to get cut. They start deciding on that stuff last week. And if a guy is making a noise now and making hay, and if he continues doing that, you end up on the roster.
Yeah, so that's going to be a name to watch out for.
And we know
for.
They like veteran players.
Yeah, 100%. You get a guy that you kind of know what you can expect. And so that's the name that you got to watch out for. Chris Moore. The other two that he mentioned, Mike Samristil and Luke McCaffrey, three guys that stood out during minicamp. We're going to take a break when we come back. Channing Crowder from the Pivot Podcast, also former Dolphin, going to join us as we preview the Commanders and the Dolphins, which will be the game in Spain. We'll break it all down next here on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.